Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're looking at a Sunday school lesson on the last words of Jesus with his disciples. It was written for the Sunday schools of March 14, 1926. And we're looking at John 14, 1 through 17. We're about to study, beginning in verse 7, how Jesus taught that Christ and the Father are one, and we're going to explore the significance of that statement. I'm going to read John 14, 1 through 12, and then we'll go back and read these Sunday school notes beginning from verse 7. Before I do, let me remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let me read this, and then we're going to start off, like I said, from verse 7. John 14, 1 through 12. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know the way. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How know we the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now John 14, 7 through 12. If ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and thou dost not know me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, show me the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I say unto you, I speak not from myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. Let's look at this old Sunday school lesson. Here we read, going back to John 14, 7, If ye had known me, you would have known my Father also. If the apostles had fully known and fully comprehended the divinity of Jesus, the full import of his sonship and mission, they would have seen God through him. He states frequently in this conversation that he is in the Father and the Father in him. The way to study and to know God now is to study and know Christ, for he came from God. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. Knowing Christ better, understanding after his resurrection and ascension the nature of his kingdom and the nature of his work, they would see God in him. From henceforth means from his trial and crucifixion. All this would be a new revelation to the apostles, and they would soon be able to understand it. In verse 8 of John 14, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He did not understand that God is seen in Christ, and asked Christ to show the Father that the apostles might behold him with a natural eye. In John 14, 9, we read, Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou, show us the Father? To know Jesus was to know God, and to see him was to see God. He was, 1 Timothy 3:16, God manifest in the flesh. He came to earth to do God's will and was a manifestation of God's mercy, grace, love, and power. He had been with the apostles for more than 3 years. Hence he asked, have I been so long time with you, and dost thou not know me, Philip? In verse 10, Jesus further asked Philip, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? Before this, Jesus had said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me, John 12:44. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, Colossians 1 in verse 15. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2 in verse 9. Just as one sees the sun when he sees the radiance of the sun, so those who saw Jesus saw the effulgence of God's glory and the very image of his substance. Hebrews 1 and verse 3. So complete was the union between Jesus and God that God was in him teaching and performing the work he did. The words that I say unto you, I speak not from myself, but the Father that abideth in me doeth his works. In John 14:11, Jesus exhorted his disciples to believe his statement that he was in the Father and the Father in him. But if they would not believe his statement, they should believe him for the work's sake. What he did, his miracles and mighty works show that he was in the Father and the Father in him. The works that Jesus did not only convinced the apostles of the fact under consideration and of the claims of Jesus, but faith in him would enable him to do the works which he did and more. And greater works than these shall you do. The reason Jesus gives for making this declaration is, because I go unto the Father. This reason helps us to understand what works he meant by greater works. He did not mean greater or more wonderful miracles, but greater work in extending the kingdom of God, in preaching the gospel to the whole creation, and in leading thousands to Christ. Christ was going to the Father, so they must continue the work on earth. And then we read in John 14:13-14, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, that will I do. Christ was not through with his work because he went to the Father. He went there to make intercession. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near God through him, seeing he liveth to make intercession for them, Hebrews 7:25. He is our high priest, the mediator, the advocate, to help them accomplish these greater works. Jesus promised that whatsoever they should ask in his name, that he would do. He would do this for the same purpose for which he had come to the earth and had done God's will here, namely, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. All Christians today and all work done by the church in obedience to God are the glory of God and the Son because they are the result of Christ's work. All petitions must be offered in faith in Christ's name, that is, in submission to him, in depending upon him. No prayer is acceptable to God unless offered in the name of Christ. No institution which omits the name of Christ can be Christian. In John 14:15-17, we read, and if ye ask anything in my name, that will I do. If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be with you forever. even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, for it beholdeth him not, neither knoweth him. Ye know him, for he abideth with you, and shall be in you. If ye love me, ye will keep my commandments, Jesus said. This is the only way to show love for Jesus and for God, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily the love of God hath been perfected. 1 John 2, 4 and 5. And although Jesus would leave the apostles, he would pray the Father, and the Father would send them another comforter, who would abide with them forever. This was the Spirit of truth. Other verses tell what the Holy Spirit would do for the apostles and for the world. And so, in addition to all of this, Jesus declares that the world cannot receive the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, or the Holy Spirit. Jesus does not mean simply that the man who is not a Christian cannot receive the Holy Spirit. He means that and more than that. He means that which is called in the Bible the world, of which Satan is the prince, that which hated Christ and hates the church today, and that of which Christ is not, and which his disciples are not. Christ's kingdom is not of this world. It has not the spirit of the world. It reflects not the character of the world, and it is not dominated by the world. If Christ's kingdom were of this world, it would have the spirit of the world, and then would his servants fight and with carnal weapons to fight and to kill. But this is not the spirit of the kingdom. Neither can a man remain in the world and receive the Holy Spirit. God does not put his spirit in the world or into institutions of the world. Now that brings this Sunday school lesson to a close, except for a little rhyme at the end. It goes like this. I saw a smile. To a poor man 'twas given, and he was old. The sun broke forth. I saw that smile in heaven, wrought into gold. Gold of such luster never was forsafe to us. It made the very light of the day more luminous. I saw a toiling woman sinking down, footsore and cold. A soft hand covered her, the humble gown wrought into gold. Grew straight and imperishable, and will be shown to smiling angels gathered round the judgment throne. Wrought in gold. We that pass down life's hours so carelessly might make the dusty way a path of flowers if we would try. Then every gentle deed we've done or kind word given, wrought into gold, would make us wondrous rich in heaven. And then there's this other little rhyme. I know not where his hand shall lead, through desert waste or flowery mead, mid tangled thickets set with thorn, but still I know my Father's hand will bring me to this godly land. Now, in our next Sunday school lesson, we're going to be talking about how Jesus dies and rises from the dead. And again, there's a lengthy reading, John 18:1 to John 20:23. And we'll be reading that in future programs. This lesson is going to focus on John 19:23, and then on through 20 and verse 20. We'll be looking at different texts through that. The golden text for the Sunday school lesson about the death and the resurrection is John chapter 10 and verse 17. Therefore doth the Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it up again.